This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
In this third podcast, I want to cover what's probably the most important role in mobile journalism, and that's the process of verification. And I want to cover a three-level process for approaching any information that you may not be sure of, or indeed information that you shouldn't be sure of. And these three levels are content, the context of the information, and the code underpinning it. And I'm going to go through those in turn and explain how those relate to information that you may come across in a live rolling event situation. The first level then, content, is really can be summed up in the too good to be true test. If you come across a piece of information which appears really newsworthy, it looks like a fantastic story, really juicy stuff, everybody's going to love it, then just check yourself for a moment and think, am I falling for some bait? It may be a rumour that's unfounded, it may be something that's planted there to catch out journalists who are not particularly careful. There are various motivations for this, but the key question is it too good to be true? So, for example, last year there was a picture of the outside of Harrods with the words "fuck off" spelt out very clearly in green lighting on the side. And the story was that this was the message of a disgruntled Harrods employee who had just been sacked. And he had set up the Christmas lights to spell out his farewell message. Now, that's a great story, but immediately your alarm bell should be ringing on a number of levels. First of all, this is just a spectacular story. But second of all, if that email arrives in your inbox with that particular image, you have to ask yourself, why hasn't anyone mentioned it before? Why weren't any of the witnesses, the thousands of people who walk past Harrods every day, talking about this? You also have to ask how easy it would be for an employee to actually do this. How easy is it to actually rig up the lighting system to spell out some expletives across the side of Harrods? With photos in particular, you want to look for cloning and airbrushing. In this particular instance, either the lights had been cloned to spell out the words using Photoshop, or the gaps between the lights had been airbrushed out to create the words. Cloning and airbrushing should be relatively easy to spot in images. You're looking for repeated patterns. There was a case of the photographer in the Middle East who exaggerated the smoke of a particular bombing to make it look more impressive. And the cloning effect was actually very obvious. There are the pictures of crowds celebrating in Iraq, which featured the same people multiple times because the crowd looked too small in the original image. So look for that kind of repeating of patterns in photos. Also look for style and personality. Is it written in the particular way that you would expect from the source that it purports to be from? If it's from an institution, for an example, is it written in very formal language? If it's from a particular individual, does it suit their personality and the way that they write elsewhere? Beyond the actual style, however, you want to think about the individual facts in the piece of information, and can you verify those facts elsewhere? Pick up the phone, follow up each fact, and just check that they're all accurate. Even if some are accurate, that doesn't mean that all of them are accurate. Sometimes truths are used to hide the particularly juicy bit of information, which is the bait. So make sure that you check any piece of information that you're going to want to repeat. And online, there are a couple of diverging strategies around this. Andy Carvin, NPR, for example, favours retweeting information and asking people to check whether things are accurate. Neil Mann at Sky, however, prefers to check it himself before he retweets information. And what you do yourself will depend on your own organisational context, your own principles, and the communities in which you operate. But certainly if you are retweeting information which you haven't verified, you will need to add some disclaimer or some invitation for people to add in the extra information. The second level of verification is context, and this is where the internet really comes into its own, because the internet is great at linking, and it links even when people aren't necessarily aware of it. So, for example, if you're looking at information from a social network account, you can see who that person is connected to and whether those connections support the identity that is being claimed. If this is the person that they say they are, would they be connected to these people? On Twitter in particular, you can see who those people followed first and which people followed them first. Ideally, those people should be people in the same organisation, people in the same profession, and that helps add extra weight to the veracity of that person's identity. But remember, these are all just small clues in a patchwork in which you're trying to work out reliability of a particular piece of information and the source of that information. Also, depending on the social network account, you can see how long that account has existed. If, for example, it's only been set up recently in the last 24 hours, then it may have been set up specifically to hoax you or to spread some misinformation or to take advantage of a particular event. You can also look at who's spoken to a particular person online or who's spoken about them. Again, really useful for seeing the social circle in which that person sits and whether that matches up with who they are suggesting they are. And you can look at their other identities online and see if there's a correlation between what they're saying on one platform and what they're saying on another. So if you know their LinkedIn profile and you can verify that that is the particular person, then on Twitter, you can use that information to check whether it is indeed the same person. And also, sometimes people link their accounts technically so that they are cross-publishing, which also lends some support to their identity. The final level, then, is the technology, the code underlying the particular source of information. And there are a number of clues you can look for here. The most obvious is to use a whois request to find out who has registered a particular web address. If a website is claiming that it is the official website of a particular company, then that website should have been registered by that company. If it has been registered by an individual, or if it is privately registered and you cannot see who the person who has registered it is, then you should be suspicious. If it's an official website, then there shouldn't be a private registration, for example. The other thing is the web address itself. If it ends in .gov, for example, then you can pretty much rely that this is indeed a governmental website. .edu and .ac.uk websites are normally limited to educational institutions, but that's not an absolute rule. They can be given to other organisations. Likewise, .org or .org.uk are normally non-profit organisations, but not always. And even non-profit organisations can tell lies, if you like. So use those as clues, but not necessarily absolute pieces of evidence. Another useful technique is to use Google's advanced search feature to look for pages that link to the page that you're checking up on. Those pages linking to it might, for example, be pointing out factual inaccuracies or errors or indications that the information is not true. You can also use Google to find a cache of a particular page, which is a previous version of the most recently saved version of that page in Google's records. And if the page has been changed very recently, then you'll be able to see what it looked like a day or two before then. Also, the Internet Archive will allow you to look at older versions of that website. So again, if it's been changed radically for various reasons, then you'll be able to see that there. If it's a wiki that you're looking at, the wiki should have a history page, which will show you the history of edits made to that page, and you can track the changes and what's been changed about it. Likewise, there should be a discussion page explaining why people have made changes and any debates about the validity or accuracy of those changes. You might want to see when a page was last updated. There are various tools to do this. If you search for bookmarklets, Firefox, last updated, you should be able to find one. So again, it will tell you if information is out of date. And finally, there's the source code of the website itself. Sometimes people, if they're creating a hooked website, will actually include something in the source code in the HTML saying that this is a hoax, just to kind of rub your face in it, so to speak. So those are some of the techniques for checking up on an online source. And as I said, just to round them up again, the first level is about the content itself. Is it too good to be true? Is it in the style that you would expect? The second level is the context. How does this particular source of information link to other sources of information online? And again, does that match up to what you would expect? And finally, the code, the technology of the source of information. Who registered the website? When was it last updated? Has it been changed recently? What's in the HTML? And so on. Knowing those techniques and going through them one by one can help you avoid being hoaxed and some very basic errors in journalism, and also allow you to add a really valuable source of verification and debunking to rolling news events.